In April, I remember I got a call from I don't know if you know a guy named Rajiv Venkalia, I think is his name, and he was
I
Gates
don't.
Foundation virus head, and his history traces back to the Bush administration 2005, 2006. He's the one who claims to have invented pandemic planning in the form of lockdowns. He called me in April and told me to shut up. I need to stop writing against the lockdowns because I was one of there weren't many of us really, but I was writing against the lockdown and trying to say this is a disaster. It's going to create all sorts of unemployment and despair. It's going to create a public health crisis. People are going to turn to substance abuse. It's going to be a disaster, and it's not going to get rid of the virus, right? That's what I was saying. And he called me up and said, "You really need to stop writing this stuff." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to do that. However, let me ask you a question. What if the lockdowns work? Where does the virus go? Where does this virus go? I mean, does it just get scared of the politicians, scared of our social distancing, and go, well, I guess humanity didn't really like me. I better just go away now. I mean, what virus has ever done that of this sort? What
Well, but
virus of this sort has gone away?
they had a vaccine, the fantasy, the vaccine uber alles. So it went from safety uber alles to vaccine uber alles. And if the vaccine was going to rescue us, all we had to do was get there. You get there with as few fatalities as possible.
But
And I
I think
get
the
it.
issue
I
really,
was wrong. What's that,
well,
Kelly?
I think Mike,
Dr.
go
Drew, you
ahead,
know
Jeffrey.
something that I didn't know that at the time, right? I mean, we're talking about April, maybe it was May of 2020. I had heard about this idea that they're going to come up with a vaccine, but I'm very old-fashioned. I thought they would want to test it and that sort of thing.
How dare you?
crazy.
I don't know
Don't
what
be
it was.
crazy.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. But so I figured it was going to be like 5 years off at the very minimum. So when the guy told me on the phone, I said, "Where's the vaccine? Where does the virus go?" He said, "Well, we're going to reduce the R naught." It's what? You're mixing up cause and effect, dude. You can't. You don't. I mean, let's say we all hide under our sofas and the R naught goes down and down. I mean, once we come out from under our sofas, the R naught's going to go up. I mean, what are you talking about? And he said, "Well," and it took a long time. He finally said, "Yeah, we're going to vaccinate our way out of this pandemic." And at that point, see, you're smarter than I. You're smarter than I am. You knew. I didn't. I nearly dropped the phone. I said, "You are going to vaccinate your way out of this pandemic? What are we going to stay locked down for 5 years? Are you out of your mind?" I couldn't believe it. He said, "No, I think it's going to be a lot sooner than that." Well, at that moment, I thought I had heard everything. I just couldn't believe it. That they really thought that we're going to stay locked down until we get a safe and effective vaccine.
Hi guys, thank you so much for joining me again with some of your precious free time. And we have the story of the century raging here. Thank you to Irish Lass as well for that opening video. They planned on getting everybody with the vax, and the ones they couldn't get, they were planning on getting with the shedding. This is, if you let it bother you, it will drive you crazy, so I choose not to. This is waking up humanity. And if this is what they were going to throw at us to get rid of Trump and kill us at the same time, then this is what we have to suffer through and expose, so we don't have to put up with this kind of Nazi genocide agenda again, because this is exactly what it is. Operation Paperclip sent all the Nazis over here, and then some went to Russia. And the ones they sent here, they put in charge of the pharmaceutical companies because they were pathological haters like the rest of them. This is what we got going on, but we finally have proof of this out in the public domain now. So I've been calling for Nuremberg trials for a long time, and you guys have too. So maybe we'll get some action on that front soon. So let's go to the war room and James O'Keefe for more on that insanity with Pfizer.
James O'Keefe joins us from Project Veritas. James, every time you're coming on now, I say, man, how did he get that? It's a blockbuster with his Facebook, the CRT at the school, the gender-affirming surgery. But this one may be the most important I think you've ever done, because this is the reason it's gone viral with I don't know how many million hits Walk us through what we heard, how important this is, particularly today. I know you dropped it on the eve of the FDA meeting today about the bivalent booster. Walk us through what we just saw and how important that is, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Well, this is an undercover investigation. The most watched video in Project Veritas history, Steve. It's got, I think, 14 million views on Twitter right now. And this is an executive. He does mRNA scientific planning. He's one of Pfizer's directors of research and development. We have an internal staff chart confirming he is who he says he is. He does indeed work for Pfizer. And he's basically talking about lying to the public, deceiving the public about what they do there at Pfizer. And most of our stories at Project Veritas involve powerful people lying to the American people. Perhaps one of the greatest, one of the worst things that he says is that it's bad for Americans what they're doing, but good for Pfizer. And he begs us not to tell anybody that they're discussing mutating the virus. They're taking steps towards doing that. And he says that the virus, he suspects, started in Wuhan. Nothing that would shock you or your audience, but it's interesting to hear it come out of the mouths of pharmaceutical executives, Steve.
James, one of the things that people's heads are blowing up globally when you talk about the 14 million, and by the way, Veritas has been around for, what, 12 years or longer, so to say that it's the most watched in your history is saying something. One of the things I know from talking to people around the globe when this thing came out is when he talks about mutating. There's one thing to kind of look at that or do it, because they're talking about right now in the FDA having a different booster every year on mutations. But it sounds like he's talking about gain-of-function research conducted by Pfizer. Is that what you surmise also?
Well, we had a Twitter Spaces. We had a number of doctors on there, including Dr. Malone and some other doctors, and they said that he's playing a language game. So we asked, our journalist asked, isn't that gain-of-function? And he kind of demurred, but he called it something else. And he changed the language of what he was referring to. It doesn't actually change what it is that he's doing. He called it, quote, directed evolution, which sounds maybe even more sinister. But similar to the CRT, critical race theory educator we caught last week, he also tried to change the language. He said, well, I don't call it critical race theory, I can still do it. Likewise, the Pfizer executive is effectively saying, well, if you don't call it gain of function, you know, what we're doing, he said, don't tell anybody. He repeatedly said this, please don't tell anybody, please don't share this with people. He was very emphatic about that when he talked about the animal experiments that Pfizer does. He says, quote, this is a direct quote, promise you won't tell anyone. The way the experiment will work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successively cause them to keep infecting each other and we collect serial samples from the monkeys. You have to be very controlled to make sure this virus, when you mutate it, it doesn't go everywhere. So you may be asking, what is Pfizer's response to this? They have responded in a way. They've shut down the comments on their social media accounts like TikTok. And I've learned that Pfizer has started interrogating inside their company today, just as in the last couple of hours. They sort of have interrogated everyone to figure out who is the source of the leaks to Project Veritas, Steve. Last night, a number of brand new Pfizer whistleblowers have come to us after we published the video.
James, correct me if I'm wrong, they started to sweep all his social media accounts. People came to me and said they're making this guy a non-person right now. Is there any truth to that, sir?
Well, they may try to make him a non-person, but he actually is a person. We cached some of the screenshots. I published that on my Twitter page. And we have his he went to Yale. He graduated Yale 2013, got his doctor of medicine at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School. He's based in New York. He's worked as a consultant to something called the Boston Consulting Group, a urology resident at Massachusetts General Hospital. We have his Pfizer email address, his boss. Her name is Shuang Wu, who is three under the CEO of the company. Steve, this is not a low-level person, which is something they haven't said because it's not a low-level person. And I think Pfizer's response verifies the story even more. They haven't said it's fake. We know that this guy works for Pfizer. We stand by reporting. And as I speak, Steve, we just posted my interaction with him, with Jordan Walker, in New York City. the other night, I walked up to him with a microphone like I do, and he physically assaulted my cameraman. That video is online as of 5 minutes ago.
We're going to pull that here momentarily. By the way, Boston Consulting Group is one of the most prestigious in the world. Where is your investigation on this going? I know you can't give the details of all your undercover work, but directionally, where are you heading on your assault, frontal assault on Big Pharma, sir?
Yeah, assault, pun intended. Actually, the NYPD asked me if we wanted to press charges again. This is extraordinary. This is like a soap opera slash, you know, Pfizer Watergate. It's riveting. It's tragic. It's enlightening. I think the future for us is finding brave people on the inside of Pfizer to go on the record. And that would be what I would say is the future of this, because we would not have been able to fully verify this report, but not for people on the inside of Pfizer. In fact, the person who recorded this is a Pfizer person. So there's a lot of people inside the company that are shocked, outraged, indignant, and have a conscience. And I would say, if you're watching this program, which many of you I'm certain are, you can look behind my head. I always do this, Steve, on your program. You go to that website right there, projectveritas.com/brave. We're going to see, Steve, the reaction to this latest report we just put out. The guy physically assaulted us, and then we'll publish our next report after that.
James, how do people go to support your work? It's incredible, and I know you have a ton of small donors, and the Warren Posse is honored to be part of that. Where do they go to support this work?
Yes, and I love the segment that you put in there, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. We are not brought to you by Pfizer. We're not brought to you by anybody. It is really – isn't it interesting? We grow up and we watch TV and we just accept these programs are literally paid for by powerful entities. So Veritas is a nonprofit organization. We're tax deductible. We're a charity like Cars for Kids or Habitat for Humanity. You get a tax deduction when you donate to us. And we don't take advertising money. I don't necessarily criticize everybody who does, as long as there's a firewall, but we don't have advertisers and no one tells me what not to do. We operate truly without fear and without favor towards anyone. So I would donate. Donate
that
on our website.
I want everybody in the Warren Posse to go there today and find out more about Veritas. And I can verify you do not tell James O'Keefe what to do. He's a man on a mission. James, honored to have you on here. We're going to play the rest of the tapes in tomorrow. It's just incredible. This is a blockbuster.
It just went live. Play the interaction with the guy for your audience. It's unbelievable.
We will, sir. James O'Keefe, thank you very much. Honored to have you on here. Veritas, I'm telling you, this 14 million views, they've been in business, 12, 13 years? Maybe longer. Longer than that. When Andrew hooked up with it, got to be 12, 13, 14 years ago. This 14 million, the most watched ever.
Hey, this is a new video from Project Veritas as well, so let's check it out.
So far, Pfizer's been laughing all the way to the bank. This might change things. Join us now as the media manager for Project Veritas, Mario Balaban. This is massive, because this is literally the meaning of life. It means life and death in so many cases. Let me ask you, has Pfizer responded yet to this report?
Hey, Emerald, thank you for having me on. No, we have not heard back from Pfizer. We reached out to them 24 hours ago. We have not seen anything come to us directly, nor have we seen any public statements from Pfizer. Thank you for bringing up the fact that we do corroborate our investigations. We absolutely check, you know, if people work where they say they work. And, you know, in my opinion here, if this person didn't work at Pfizer or what he was saying was untrue, I would imagine that Pfizer would have either emailed us yesterday before the story went out, which is what journalists do. We, you know, ask for comment before we publish a story, or even after the story is out, they should honestly, or in my opinion at least, you know, come and, you know, say, hey, if this isn't true, tell us it's not true, or tell me this person doesn't work there. We haven't seen that. I don't know what Pfizer's comms and PR strategy is for this. The video has over 8 million views already just on Twitter alone. It trended number 5 yesterday. So I know Pfizer knows about the video. I'm sure they have seen it, but we have not heard anything back from them.
Yeah, we reached out as well, Mario. We gave them a deadline of tomorrow for their response. I think it's unlikely we'll hear back. We'll see if you all do. And I have noticed on Twitter they've stopped tweeting too in the last few days, which is very telling, right? It's clear they've just kind of got this moratorium on saying anything.
Well, we saw not only that, we've seen that they've blocked people. There's Project Veritas colleagues of mine that have been blocked by Pfizer on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And from my understanding, on Pfizer's TikTok apparently disabled commenting as well. So I think the immediate response, if we are going to qualify something as a response, although it's not a statement or anything like that, there is a response in, you know, when a video comes out, the reaction is, let's make sure that people on social media can't engage with us. So I suppose you can consider that some sort of response, but not in the official kind that we usually expect from subjects such as Pfizer.
But tell us about Walker and who he really is and how he did come to be in this high-level job, because it is a high-level job. He's basically heading up mRNA research, right, for the company.
Yeah, that is in his role from what we've found. Dr. Malone actually has been all over this story. He himself has gone, you know, out of his way to corroborate this. So from what, you know, the research we were able to find, he's been at Pfizer, I believe, for over 3 years. Since October of 2019 is what we were able to look at. There's other people doing their own research and finding the same thing. By the way, it's not just us who's found this. He's also worked in several other high positions in other organizations, Pfizer obviously being the biggest one. So this guy is not a newbie right out of college. He's not a 20-year-old, you know, junior staffer by any means. So, you know, and again, you know, obviously there, because I think of the magnitude of the story, there's going to be more people that try to like poke holes at it because it's just so, you know, so shocking really. And so impactful, as you said, it's a really big story. So more people are poking holes at it, but we've had this before. We've, you know, the media, the mainstream media has been trying to poke holes in our stories for since we've existed. So we're more than ready to, discuss this. We have nothing to hide at Project Veritas. We actually only exist because we believe in transparency. So from our end, you can expect that, you know, we will always show every single piece of information as we know it and as we see it.
Okay, here's the next video, and they have one more after this.
Project Veritas is not raising the standard. They are the standard.
Hey there. Is this seat taken?
The pro-transparency news organization, Project Veritas, just released an undercover video of a Pfizer executive bragging on camera about how his company conducts manipulating COVID viruses for profit.
So that's why they're thinking, like, if you do control the lab, then you say, oh, this is a manipulative. And so then if it comes out later on, like, in the public, you already have a vaccine kind of working on.
Now that Anthony Fauci appears to be leaving the world stage, we are in need of new villains in this space.
Because like some of the times there were just mutations that pop up, right? And we're not prepared for it, like with Delta or Omicron,
right,
and things like that. So who knows? I mean, either way, it's gonna be a cash cow. COVID will probably be a cash cow for us for a while going forward.
This is a Pfizer research and development executive that got on hidden camera.
Don't tell anyone this, Billy. You gotta tell anyone.
Yeah. They're ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID.
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No.
They're mutating the COVID viruses.
Is this real life?
An effort by Pfizer, or a proposed effort to be precise, to quote, use directed evolution to mutate the COVID virus.
But unlike what was done at Wuhan Institute of Virology, instead of using humanized mice, they appear, if the gentleman is correct, to be passaging in monkeys.
So the way it would work is like we put them in the virus in these monkeys.
Okay.
And then we successively like cause them to keep infecting each other. I would collect serial samples from them, and then the ones that are more infectious, like the virus, we'll put them in another monkey and just constantly actively mutate it. That's one way.
Crazy.
It's the way that the virus started in Wuhan. To be honest, like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere.
You f***ed up. You really did. Please leave the class as soon as possible. I'm really very upset.
Door.
Give me, why is my door so stuck?
Please unlock. Please. We're trying to get you to unlock the door. Unlock the door.
Okay, here's the next video, and it's so good to see this topic go out so widely. Humanity had better wake up with this going on.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Kim, you must have seen that video of the Pfizer exec blagging about gain of function research, talking about the revolving door between the FDA and Pfizer, and all of the things that we suspect are going on appear to be true. Firstly, do you think this video is legit, and what's your take on it, mate?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's legitimate. Project Veritas always ends up winning their cases in court when they're sued, as when people say that they're spreading fake news and they actually don't. Whether or not this guy Jordan is actually, I think his name's Jordan Tristan Walker, whether or not he's actually high up in the company, you know, I'm not 100% certain about that. But what he's talking about is not actually called gain of function. It's actually directed evolution. It's kind of like gain of function in that they've been doing this for a really long time. They're saying, well, we're just trying to learn more about the viruses so that in the future, when we have a virus jump from a bat to a person, we will be able to, you know, I don't know, they could list off all the things that they think they would be able to do based on that knowledge. But we saw that that didn't really pan out. Exactly when it came to the pandemic. And there's a possibility that this virus evolves itself away. And do you think Big Pharma is going to be all about that? I don't think they're going to be wanting this virus to evolve itself out of existence. They're going to want to keep it going.
In a sense, Kim, there are some areas for speculation that seem important. The potential dangers of institutional thinking when pursuing such a potentially dangerous endeavor. If profit is built into your model, then, as you say, at the level of scientific inquiry, nothing nefarious need happen. But when these institutions are governed and guided towards profitable experimentation rather than necessary experimentation, we're confronted, I think, with a series of potential moral and ethical problems. Whether or not this video is legit, we know the gain-of-function research is happening. The NIH admit that in shadowy, shady, vague places. And I feel that it's a demonstration of the way that we are regarded as subjects of the corporate state power structures rather than participants in our own communities and lives. And that is the thing that troubles me most of all. And now that Anthony Fauci appears to be leaving the world stage, we are in need of new villains in this space.
Okay, checking Project Veritas's Twitter. They have a question from ALX, who says, still no comment from Pfizer on the Project Veritas video? And Project Veritas says, nope. So apparently you could admit you're trying to kill humanity and not have to answer for it. I don't think that's going to work out for them, but this is their plan to shut the frig up. So we'll see where this goes from here. I'm hoping for some kind of serious Nuremberg-style court. I know you guys are too. We've known this. Now that it's out in the public domain, if everybody demands it, then we'll get it. All right, I'm going to play part of this because I think it's pretty important. It's an hour and 20 minutes, so I can't play the whole thing. But we'll watch the beginning.
Today on Friday, January 27th, 2023, at 2:03 p.m. Eastern Time, Dr. McCullough has been on here an oodle of times. He is the most published cardiorenal physician in world history. He has been on Joe Rogan. He has, if you have a podcast and you like having subscribers and revenue on YouTube, have Dr. McCullough on and he will nuke all that from under you like an atom bomb in the way that only he can do. And I say that as a compliment. I genuinely mean that as a compliment. It'll move you over to Rumble. Come to the light. He's the author of The Courage to Face COVID-19, along with his co-author, John Leake. In the description, I'll put his Substack, his Twitter, his Getter, his Gab, his Truth, all of that good stuff. Dr. McCullough, how are you doing, sir?
Tommy, thanks for having me. You tracked from Spotify that nearly got yanked after our podcast went viral. So great to be on the show. Boy, do we have a lot of news, including a fellow UT Southwestern graduate, Dr. Jordan Tristan Lee Walker of Pfizer and Project Veritas. What a story.
Now, could you, for the listener, could you, because I know I have a friend at Project Veritas and been friends with her for a couple of years, and I was just texting her And she was saying it's blown all their minds. It is their most viewed video of all time. I think they've cleared 30 million, I think by an order of magnitude. It's the tenfold, 100% or 1,000% or 100%. It's at 30 million views. And it is about, from what I've gathered, it's with the hashtag going around, is directed evolution. Now,
well, let me set the context here, Tommy. We were, like so many of the public, you know, we were stunned to see this. You know, I don't have any inside knowledge of what Project Veritas is doing, but let's just take the subject who now probably will become a target of federal international probes. His name is Jordan Tristan Lee Walker. Let's call him Dr. Walker. What we know about him is he graduated from Yale, and then he spent a year trying to get into medical school. He actually got into University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, the same medical school I went to. I graduated in 1988 as an Alpha Omega Alpha graduate. That's the top 7% of graduates in the whole country. I'm not sure Dr. Walker was AOA. I didn't think he made it, but he graduated in 2018. And he may have never finished his internship or his first year of residency. And he's picked up by Pfizer as a research and development director. Now, this is a guy, you know, he hasn't even hardly seen patients, let alone done research or have any academic qualifications, certainly not in vaccines or virology. And he holds a title at Pfizer as a research and development director. And then he basically gets entrained. And he's entrained in what appears to be a male honey trap, meaning there is an alluring potential male partner for him, implying that he's either bisexual or homosexual. And he's on a third date with this person who he's hoping to has to actually get ahead of the game and actually create new mutations of SARS-CoV-2 and then get them into circulation and be ready to have a vaccine that covers these new strains. And people are using the term planned evolution or, in a sense, kind of a designer virology pandemic model. Because what happened is our CDC just met on this and said they want to go to annual boosters for COVID-19 like it's done with the influenza. But the problem here is that SARS-CoV-2 is mutating ahead of the manufacturers. And by the time the manufacturers come out with a product, it's too late. So now he suggests doing the opposite of actually creating disease in populations and then having a vaccine to anticipate it. And the person talking to him, what happened next, Tommy, is amazing. People can watch the videos. He comes back into a restaurant and he's confronted by James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. And this young guy, it's hard to know if he's intoxicated or not, but he simply loses his marbles. It becomes a fracas. He's all over the place. His cell phone goes on the ground. Next thing you know, he's wiping himself on the ground. He's all over the place. He runs out into the street, tries to stop traffic. This guy basically just loses his marbles when he figures out that he's been stung. He's actually been in a sting operation. Then 24 hours, as you mentioned, the videos and all these different formats go viral. Senator Marco Rubio gets involved and sends a letter off to Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, asking for an explanation. And boy, evil revelation.
James O'Keefe is kind of like holy water to demons. They just start writhing on the floor and speaking in demonic tongues when they see him. And there is some kind of beauty in that. What I want to go back to is the idea of directed evolution as sick and evil as that may be to the average person that has a moral compass and a soul. It really does go back to our prior two or three episodes talking about the P3, the DARPA ADEPT program, in that if this is a military program, this, all kind of dark jokes aside, this is a playbook that is not new. Sure, it's new in biotechnology and vaccine rollouts and these highly complex biopharmaceutical conglomerates. But I mean, even something as the probably the most well-known one is, well, let's go back to World War II, and we funded the Soviets to help beat the Japanese and the Nazis, and then we fight the Soviets. We fund the Mujahideen in the 70s to fight the Soviet Union, and then they become the Taliban. This is not, is it good for the world? Absolutely not. It's good for a select few companies. That might be a bit of a stretch, but that is something we've seen before, where you fund the very thing you need to fight in order to make it. And now joining us is Mr. Steve Kirsch. Mr. Kirsch, how are you doing, sir?
Good. I was on the Google Meet link, so sorry to...
Oh, you are quite all right. That is my fault. I'm 1,070 episodes into this, and I still don't exactly know what I'm doing. Mr. Kirsch, we are talking about the Pfizer video and the idea of directed evolution, and not to immediately throw you in the frying pan as you just appeared, but your thoughts on that video and the idea of Pfizer actually pushing mutations and variations in order to treat it.
Well, they are going to use that second video to claim that he was just trying to impress his date. Excuse. But I thought about it. You know, I try to put myself... So first of all, I know a lot more than I can reveal.
Okay.
All right. But so think about it. So I talked to Robert Malone on our VSRF call yesterday. And I said, you know, Robert, does this kind of like make sense to you? Or is this something like somebody just made this up out of thin air? And he thought it was like pretty well crafted. Like you'd either have had to thought about this ahead of time, really, you know, like really thought about it ahead of time, or it's really happening. Now, why would this guy think up this story ahead of time? I mean, it sort of doesn't make sense. And if he's trying to impress a date, why would he be so callous about the health of the American people, right? If you're trying to impress someone on what a good guy you are, like on how well, you're such a good guy and that you're working for this corrupt organization, and you'd be saying...
be by design to impress anybody. It sounds like he's reporting the news that this really happened in a Pfizer meeting and they really did discuss this.
That's what it sounded like to me. Like, I didn't get any kind of... Usually when you concoct a story, there are things that don't make sense, yeah, right? There are things that don't fit. They're logically inconsistent. But I didn't detect anything in that video that was logically that didn't make sense, that didn't fit together. Like, everything kind of made... Like, yeah, that's actually... You know, if you were Pfizer and you wanted to make a lot of money... That's how you'd be
bad for, you know, for the public. And he said, well, yeah, it would be bad for the public, but it would be good for Pfizer.
Yeah. Like, how do you lie? Why would you lie about something like that? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And then for him to go off the rails, you know, when he on that second thing where he went off the rails, it's like, hey, it should have been just, hey, I was just lying to impress a date.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's yeah, like, hey, look, you know, you guys are totally misinterpreting this. Which is like, it'd be like super calm.
Yeah.
This guy was pissed.
Yeah.
Now, if he's lying, he just say, hey, I was lying. You know, no big deal. I mean, you know, yeah, you caught me. I was lying to press the date. But you see, he didn't come across that way. Mm-hmm. He came across as... I would, like, I don't know if I could say like
you
F words
whatever
or whatever,
you want, man. You
oh,
say
oh, really?
Is even when he got out of there, he claimed that he was locked in the restaurant. Got out of there, he went nuts in the street. He tried to flag somebody down, and this was not somebody who quote was trying to impress a date. This was a guy who knew he was caught. He knew he had been stung, and boy, he understood the ramifications of it, and that's the reason why he went nuts.
Okay, let's go and look at some other stuff. And he sure knew he was caught. That's why he flipped out. And that's why we need stuff like this video out in the public, so everybody knows for sure exactly what happened. Because like he said, if he was just trying to lie and stuff, he would have been calm and cool and sat there and said, oh, yeah, sure, sit down. Yeah, I was just lying. And then that would have been it. But no, he... lost it. Totally. Checking in at President Trump, he says, first come the tanks, then come the nukes. Get this crazy war ended now. So easy to do. Yeah, we really need that war to end, is right. A major disaster is brewing. Oh, he said that in response to the war ending. Uh-oh. Maybe it's that scare event we've been told about a while ago. I found John Bolton to be one of the dumbest people in government, but I am proud to say I used him well. A total and unhinged warmonger, the red-faced boiler ready to explode, was one of those very stupid voices that got us into the Middle East quicksand. $7 trillion and millions of deaths later, nothing. Only for the deep state. They got a lot out of it. The good news is that I won big negotiations with this moron by my side. When I brought him into a room with hostile foreign leaders, they thought I was going to war. Concede it all. So he used Bolton's warmongering against his enemies. They thought he was going to bomb them, so they got peace. That is hilarious. This is why we love President Trump and his mean tweets. They're not mean at all. They're saving humanity. They should call them saving humanity tweets instead of mean tweets. They're a bunch of morons. Yuma official says town is on brink of collapse due to Biden administration immigration policies. A Yuma official warned that the city is on the brink of collapse due to the Biden administration. Oh, man, that is awful. They are really trying to destroy this country. Ex-FBI official who helped launch Crossfire Hurricane charged with laundry list of crimes. Sweet, the Federalist. Monday's news is a body blow to the FBI, which already has two black eyes from the last 7 years of scandals. Yeah, well, they're ready to be taken out and removed then. We don't need corrupt officials like that. It's time to stop the Atlanta riots from ever happening again.
The violent and vicious riots in Atlanta carried out by the anti-police radical left anarchists are an abomination, and it has to stop. These extremists smashed windows, set fire to a police cruiser, destroyed businesses, laid waste to downtown Atlanta, and were even found carrying explosives. They wanted to kill people. They didn't quite have that opportunity, but they would have, and they wouldn't have lost any sleep over it. Unfortunately, nothing will happen to most of these rioters because of the Marxist prosecutors who have seized control of the justice system in Atlanta, just like they are in New York, just like they have in other places. As always, it's hardworking, law-abiding citizens of all backgrounds who pay the price for this radical left extremism, sponsored by George Soros, it seems. The rioters who attack our wonderful police officers and destroy so many lives must be punished to the fullest extent of the law. And when I'm president again, if Marxist prosecutors betray their oaths and refuse to protect our citizens, I will not hesitate to send in federal law enforcement to restore peace and public safety. We will restore law and order in America. We've never seen anything like is happening right now. Crime is up by 50, 60, 70, and 100% in these radical left Democrat-run cities. We can't let it happen. Our country is going to hell. We're going to make America great again. Thank you.
Yes, we are going to make America great again. He did it once just to prove he could, and now he's got to do it again. And then he has this video.
In the middle of the city's bloodiest crime wave in decades, the left-wing lunatics on the Washington, D.C. City Council have passed a radical bill to throw open the jailhouse doors, set loose violent felons, and let criminals run wild. I just wonder, are they going to allow the patriots of January 6th to go, or are they going to be the only ones in jail in Washington, D.C.? The bill is a horrific catalog of the sickest and most twisted ideas of the radical Democrats defund the police crusade. And remember, for all of the police that are listening, they want to defund the police. That's where they started, and that's where they want to finish. It reduces penalties for carjackers. It lowers penalties for robberies. It slashes penalties for convicted felons committing gun crimes. It eliminates almost all mandatory minimum sentences. Murders in D.C. are up 63% year to date, yet the bill even makes murderers and rapists eligible for early release. But again, what about January 6th, people? They're patriots in so many cases, and they're being destroyed by this system. It seeks to overwhelm the court system by dramatically expanding jury trials for simple misdemeanors so that criminals will not be charged for those offenses. It's a betrayal of our police, and it's a betrayal of our people. By virtue of the federal government's unique responsibility for the District of Columbia, Congress can vote to stop these deranged policies from going into law. Congress should immediately send a resolution to Joe Biden's desk rejecting this weak on crime agenda. Biden will then face the stark choice. Does he stand with murderers, rapists, and carjackers, and violent criminals, or does he stand with the law-abiding citizens of our nation's capital? Biden must be forced to stop this bill, or Washington, D.C. will become a hellscape of bloodshed, looting, trauma, and death, which it already is. Right now, the city has the worst record on crime and murder that it's ever had. It's through the roof. They want to make it much worse, and they'll do it if this passes. So end it right now. Thank you.
Yes, let's do that. Then we have another video. Let's check it out.
Under Joe Biden, the world has become vastly more dangerous, and there is no greater danger than the deadly menace of nuclear weapons and hypersonic missiles. Hypersonic missiles move at many times the speed of sound and six times faster than current missiles. Armed with nuclear weapons, they could annihilate entire cities and even countries within minutes. And we cannot let this happen. If you take a look right now, the nuclear word is being mentioned all the time. This is a word that you're not allowed to use. It was never used during the Trump administration, but now other countries are using that word against us because they have no respect for our leadership. World War III would be a catastrophe unlike any other. This would make World War I and World War II like very small battles. The best way to ensure that such a conflict never happens is to be prepared with unmatched technology and unrivaled strength. To this end, when I am Commander-in-Chief, which we did an awfully good job at rebuilding our military, we rebuilt the entire military, once again, I will work with Congress and our great military leaders, not the ones you see on television. I don't consider them leaders. But we're going to work with them to build a state-of-the-art next-generation missile defense shield. Just as Israel is now protected by the Iron Dome, a dream once thought impossible, America must have an impenetrable dome to protect our people. We worked with Israel to develop that dome. They relied on us. Not just them, they relied on us. We have technology that's unsurpassed, but our past leaders haven't really wanted to use it. I rebuilt our military at a level that nobody thought possible, but we have to now go that further step. We must be able to defend our homeland, our allies, and our military assets around the world from the threat of hypersonic missiles, no matter where they are launched from. Our adversaries must understand that they, not the United States, will be totally destroyed if they ever dared to launch missiles against our homeland. The Space Force, which was inaugurated under my leadership, will have a very vital role to play. It was such an important thing we did. The Democrats fought us all the way, but we got it passed. First time in 79 years, a new force. Just as I rebuilt our military, especially our nuclear capabilities, I will build the shield to defend America from missile attack. We will have a peace through strength. And that's what we had. And we had no wars during the Trump administration. We had no wars. Remember that. Because we were strong, the other side knew it, and they didn't want to play games. They didn't want to mess around. Thank you very much.
Yes, very strong talk from President Trump. I just love it. I know you guys do too. This is like a dream come true, all this stuff.
One of the very same FBI officials who was centrally involved in the launch of the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax has now been charged for himself colluding with a Russian oligarch. In other words, colluding with Russia. Charles McGonigal was allegedly paid $250,000 by a former Russian intelligence official, even while he was still working for the FBI, trying to frame the president of the United States, your favorite president, me, as a Russian spy. I said, I'm not a Russian spy. Where does this all come from? This was a setup. This was a hoax. This was a total international disgrace to our country. This latest example of galling corruption and hypocrisy is one more reason why we need a president to clean house in Washington, D.C., and restore government that is honest, transparent, and accountable to the American people.
Right on. Oh, my goodness. Winning, 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 as far as I could see. I know you guys are saying the same thing. This needs to filter out to everyone, but it will.
The FBI guy after me for the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, long before my election as president, was just arrested for taking money from Russia, Russia, Russia. May he rot in hell.
Right on. You know he is. $250,000 to sell out your country. Come on, man.
Peter Baker writes in the failing New York Times that, quote, Biden's errors on files, meaning documents, blur Trump's case. Well, that's the way it is. But, you know, there are bigger problems because who's seeing all of his files? Who's seeing all those documents? They're put in a basement, an unlocked basement with no security. So it may be so, what Peter says, but perhaps he means it in a much different way. Because, as you know, Peter Baker was President Obama's biographer and his biggest fan. The biggest fan. Think of that. And what he had in mind was probably different from what other people were thinking. Politically, it has effectively let former President Donald J. Trump off the hook. The fact that Biden was so egregious, and he might be right about that, Peter. He might be right. They said, let me off the hook. However, he states that Biden has cooperated with authorities while President Trump has not. This is just false. It's exactly the opposite. We were dealing with NARA, adding extra locks at the request of the people that wanted it locked up. We had it locked up, but they wanted extra locks. We added them. We were talking to NARA very nicely as per the Presidential Records Act. That's what it says we have to do. Everything was going fine. We would have worked out a deal, and we were getting along, believe it or not. And then, lo and behold, they raided Mar-a-Lago. They came in and raided it. The same place that they asked us to put an extra lock, they went and raided that. So what's going on in this country is sad. It's very sad, and it has to stop, and it has to stop soon. It was exactly the opposite. We were the ones that were transparent. We were the ones that were dealing with NARA and even the FBI. They should have never been involved. What we did was according to the Presidential Records Act and according to the Sox case, that was a Clinton case, that covers this very accurately, the Sox case. It was a big victory. But according to that, and the Presidential Records Act, we were doing everything perfectly. Biden wasn't. It was just the opposite. We were transparent. He wasn't. Thank you very much.
Okay, here's the next one.
Tiana Lowe from the Washington Examiner said it best. Quote, it's very disturbing that this goes back to time in the Senate. Because unlike President Trump, Vice President Biden didn't have the right to declassify these documents, no ability whatsoever to do so. We're talking about a span of 2 decades minimum. The timeline there was 68 days elapsed between Biden finding the documents and them becoming public news. They did this to avoid not only the midterm election, but the crucial Georgia election, a DOJ cover-up, end of quote. Why did they do that? I wonder. According to the great Maria Bartiromo, she's great, on Mornings with Maria, the Justice Department has shown us that this has been a double standard, a totally double standard. If you're a Republican, or especially if you're a Trump Republican, they go after you. If you're a Democrat, you can do anything you want, including murder. Just take a look at Antifa and BLM. But Maria Bartiromo gets it, and there's no doubt about that. Also, election interference was in effect, given the fact that they sat on this information and we didn't know until January, long after the election was over. This is a disgrace to our country. It's a disgrace to free and fair elections, which they weren't. Thank you.
No, nothing free and fair about them. Deep state rapscallions. Here's the next one.
They created this document mess for themselves by being so totally deranged about me. And I did absolutely nothing wrong. It's really incredible to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Along with this Pfizer stuff. Oh my God, you couldn't hardly ask for more.
Our country has become the investigation capital of the world. Actually, that's all we do. And it's only good for our many enemies, our enemies that are laughing at us all over the world. They could not be happier as they brilliantly plot our demise and destruction. We have to get back to making America great again.
That is for sure. And then congratulations to Ronna McDaniel on her big win. Oh, no. Now we have to stop Democrats from cheating in elections. Oh, we didn't want her as chair. We wanted Mike. Oh, well. Fox fake news is terrible. Anything bad for Trump, they go with, even if not true. They refuse to show the major polls that have me leading all Republicans in a landslide and beating hopeless Joe Biden by a lot. Nobody else has numbers like this. And it's driving them, together with their friends at Club for No Growth, Paul Ryan, Karl Rove, and the Rhino class, crazy. It's 2016 all over again, even though I did better in 2020 by a lot. Fox fake news is not with me, and I'm not with them. Truth. Wow. Epic. Let me get to a song and put a bow on this one. Okay, you guys are really going to love the song I found for you to wrap this show up. So I'd like to point out that all of the links I use to make this show are in the show notes, along with links to American-made products like MyPillowGuy.com, where you can save up to 66% using promo code ZBRUN at checkout. And Mike gets 100% of that. I don't take any of it. I donate everything that generates back to his legal defense fund, because he's helping Kerry Lake and so much. I was hoping he was going to be head of the RNC, but maybe he will be in the future. We got to deal with Ronna McDaniel for now, but thank you for everyone who has done that. And if you're considering using Mike to buy anything, I'd be honored if you use that, because you'd also be helping him. So I also have this t-shirt for sale, excuse me, for only $20. That includes delivery. I'm just trying to get these a new home. These were made by Sears and Kmart back in 2016, but I only have size 3X. But they were banned from selling them in their stores. They went woke and now they're broke. They came out of their bankruptcy. But that's the only size I have. I have about three of them in small, if you can use a small. But that includes delivery for a banned Trump collectible. I think they're cool. And there are other American-made products in the show notes with promo codes as well. And you can also buy me a coffee. Thank you guys so much just for watching the program. You guys rock. Let me get to that song now. Hey, no matter what kind of music resonates with you, you are absolutely going to love this. And I love you for watching. I'll see you on the next show. Bye-bye.
Sucking the blood of children is Satan reincarnated.
I'm not kidding.
We choose science over fiction.
We choose truth over facts.
Nazi sympathizers, current Nazi fags.
And I got hairy legs, blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and rub my leg down.
Son? There's a headstone cemetery in Ireland that reads,
poor kids are just as bright as just white kids.
I stand by my grandpa, put my hand on his shoulder, saying,
you're a blind dog-faced pony soldier.
American people are tough. You're trying your best, but it never feels like enough.
Joe! Oh, Ben!
We are losers, baby.
So why
don't you kill us?
So, turn the door. I'm a loser,
baby.
So why don't you kill me?
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.